You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Or did I talk to the time pilot?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hi!
Welcome to Scam Wow! I'm Caitlin Brodnick.
I'm Sue Smith.
And we love scams! Guys, we love scams. We love you. We love this pod. Thank God for you all.
Thank God for listening. Yes, thank God for a creative outlet during these times.
Without you, we don't exist and we don't have any validation. And we need it.
We need it. Ah!
I love all your messages. We get some real detailed personal messages about scams you guys have pulled or been involved in. And we appreciate
that. And honestly,
them.
It's impressive. And we love that for you. Thank you.
It's a win for
yes,
us.
Thank you. Please welcome from the We Stan podcast, also on the More Banana Network, so you should listen to it.
Yes. Lauren
Brickman.
Hi.
Hi.
We're all in a Zoom, and I see Lauren listening. I'm like, she's having too much fun to keep quiet. We need to introduce this lovely voice.
I love it. Thank you so much for embracing it. My elementary school teachers never figured it out. You should just let
Mine
me talk.
Neither.
Right?
My desk was always moved, and I'd always cry about it, but then I'd want to sit back next to Zadok so we could draw our pictures. It was
Zadok?
Yes.
Can I tell you guys that I've been having a nice little round of lightning crotch?
Oh my God. That? I completely forgot about lightning crotch until you just said that. That is something from my pregnancy I've blocked out.
It's awful. Wow. It's like shooting pains in
pointy zinging nerves in your vagina.
In your vagina.
And oh my God.
It's terrifying because in my pregnancy, I haven't had pain. I've just had like weird movement in my belly and nothing's been painful. But this like jolts me out of bed.
Yes.
Screaming.
Oh my gosh. I cannot believe I've completely forgotten about that. And that was like a big thing because I was like, is this a yeast infection that's going throughout my body? Like it feels like a little electric shock.
Yeah, I was like, am I having a baby right now? I don't know.
I feel like pregnancy is the greatest scam ever pulled. Like, there's just so many things they don't
the
tell
response
you.
Response around it, yeah. Well, I think I will say, as somebody who has birthed a kid and hated the birth process, I'm very honest about it.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people don't want to, like, cloud other people's experiences. Like, what if your experience is great?
Yeah.
Or what if your experience was lovely? Like, I would never want to prevent somebody from having... Not that my opinion matters that much, but I don't ever want to taint somebody else's experience or possibility.
I don't know. I one of my dear friends, and I won't name her because she deserves her anonymity, but I took one of my dear friends out for a dinner like right before she gave birth, because instead of like a baby shower, I was like, you need like a you night. So like I took her out to like a fancy dinner.
Does.
Yeah.
And after dinner, we went out for a walk and she laughed so hard. She like Peter Pants.
Oh, sure.
And of course.
Sure.
I'm like, yeah, what else? Did she shit? Because I get it.
Well, and that's that.
Did she have gluten and shit her pants?
She was like, I think I might have shit my pants. And I go, oh, do we need to go to a bathroom and find out? She goes, no, let's just keep walking. I can't deal with this again today. And I just like, aww, in that moment realized what pregnancy really was.
It is a scam though, because nobody agrees on what's safe and what's not. So like,
yeah.
Yeah. So some people will be like, don't eat tuna. And then some people will be like, I have 2 cans of tuna a week. It's great for protein.
It's so confusing. Yeah. It's so confusing. Also, you hear what Americans do, and then I hear what Japanese mothers are doing, and then what they're doing in Finland. And I'm like, I kind of love that. Definitely, if I am raising a baby, I'm trying to raise a Dutch baby.
For sure.
I babysat for a Dutch family for years. I helped raise their kids from 3 months to 3 years. And then the other one was, I guess, 3 to 6 or something. And I just loved every way that they did it and their way that they looked at childhood. And I was like, all right, we're Dutch.
Were they chill? Were they chill?
Chill as fuck. Like, mm-hmm, nice, kind, smart, beautiful apartment from IKEA. You know, it's like, I start with design and then I go to like the other places.
Sure, 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 sure.
In the relationship.
Raise your kids Dutch.
I'm going to let them know that they're Dutch.
You got to tell them, you're not American. We're in America. We don't subscribe to this social situation.
Katie, how are you doing?
Well, I have to say, I have a friend on Instagram who jokingly mentioned he has a 3-month-old and said, now I understand why people do crack. And I asked before we started recording, Sue, have I ever told you I want to do crack now?
I was like, I don't think so. Like, I don't remember. Get on the pod.
I don't think I've said it to this podcast, but in my mind, I'm like, when you're so beat down, so exhausted, so overwhelmed, and in 2020, and like trying to homeschool a preschooler.
You just need a cold brew.
Yeah. Prior to quarantine, I had given up coffee for the most part. Like, I had not been a daily... coffee was a treat. I would occasionally drink it. Like, if I was on set or, like, you know, at a fancy dinner or something like that.
If you're on set, do whatever the hell you want. You're right. On set,
but
baby.
I have not like made coffee in my home for myself in probably 10 years. Like, I gave it up like sometime during my youth. But during quarantine, both my roommates, they spend like, that's one of their indulgences, like fancy, nice coffee. And so the house always smelled like it. And I finally did it. And now if you cut me, I would bleed coffee. And I found this. And Caitlin, I think what you actually need is this Vietnamese coffee that I found called Copper
I'll
Cow.
Take it.
And it is going to change your life.
I swear to God, please text it to me. I need
what
it right
is it?
Now.
Copper Cow?
Copper Cow coffee is...
It'll you put the condensed milk in it and make it like a Vietnamese iced coffee? Because
you can
crack.
If you want to. So you can. There are individual pour overs, and you can add the condensed milk if you want. If not, you can save it for another time. But this stuff is rocket fuel. It is rocket fuel, and you will fly to the moon. So
sometimes coffee makes me a bitch, but I guess if I could just tell Alan beforehand, I need the afternoon to myself. I'm about to be a bitch. You know, this is preventing me from going to hard drugs. Mm-hmm. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
He'd understand. He's very
compassionate. We're not really going to do crack cocaine,
I'm not really going to do crack cocaine. I just think it's so funny because I had complete compassion in my life. I guess I've
we're not glamorizing
I'm very honest on this podcast. I'm sober. Mm-hmm. I don't do anything. I haven't done anything, thank God, knock on wood, for 9 years.
You got to get the Copper Cow, I'm telling you.
I am laid up here with one foot. Alan today said the funniest thing. He's like, you know, you're not like, when I'm doing so much because I have so much guilt over like not being able to help. So the second I feel better, I jump up and I try and help. Then my ankle hurts
and you feel
a lot
worse.
And I have to sit down. Right. But then when I sit down, I have such insane guilt that I'm not helping. I literally have to like check myself out. So I'll just watch these stupid YouTube videos. Today I watched a whole biography, like a tell-all from this stripper who's really going through it during COVID, but she's still wearing her mask while she's dancing. She's incredible. I love her. So I'm watching her life story, but that means that I am 100% not present for anyone in my life. And Alan's like, the minute you sit down, you're gone.
Wait, but I need to know more about the stripper. What's her name?
Hold on. She's great. I'm going to send it to you. She basically, like, she said her favorite thing is when she does these private dances in like the private room, because this guy just started therapy and just sat down to tell her all of his feelings about therapy. And she said her favorite thing is that in those private, like, special rooms or the special VIP room, you sit, you get paid for it. And really, they just want to talk to somebody who will listen without judgment. And she said afterwards, you feel really good about yourself because you helped somebody through something. And it was not like, it's not anything. It's not sexual, anything else. Like, you were just that one person that they could talk to during the day.
Aww.
She's so lovely. Sometimes she makes $950 a night. Sometimes she makes, you know, $450. But also, whenever they do group dances or group strip things in somebody's, you know, a private party, they divide everything equally, all equally. It's not every stripper grabs whatever cash he can.
Wow. Yeah.
And she said it's like all very amicable. And there was a time that guys, I've been checking out for my family a lot because I've got lots to tell you. There was a time that there was a creepy person who was trying to steal people's money and phones when the strippers left the building. So they had to stay inside the building for like over an hour.
Ooh.
Oh, no.
And also these church ladies come on Wednesdays and they give them free dinner.
Aww.
And they would
make
them free dinner. And it was from a church lady. And somebody asked, like, what's the deal with that? And it was from a church lady who was a former stripper. And she said that she knows, or I'm sorry, a former dancer. And she knows that sometimes you forget to eat before you dance and you're really rushed and your life's tough. And they say, sometimes I think they say a little prayer over them, but then like nothing's pushy or anything.
Yeah.
And then on holidays, they give them little gift bags and stuff.
That's sweet. I want to watch this documentary.
That's really sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a documentary. She's just talking to camera and I'm calling it a documentary because I've watched all of her videos.
Oh, it's like a vlog. I'll watch anyway.
It's fully just her talking in 60 second TikTok videos. And I've deemed it a documentary because I've spent so much of my time seeing her life.
I understand.
You know, in a t-shirt, she says she looks like a box. And then, you know, she does a click of her fingers and she looks very sexy in a different outfit.
Right,
like,
right,
you know,
right.
I'm watching her. I know her body shapes. She uses the tape under her eyes to make that like really fancy cat eye. And then she pulls the tape off. It's great.
Katie, we got to talk about the fact that you're starting to call TikToks documentaries.
So. I know. That's like a thing.
I feel like that's
a real old lady thing.
But I will say, I encountered a woman whose thing was she was married to a murderer. And she
had. On TikTok?
Yes. And she had like 10 minute videos. And then she put like an hour documentary on YouTube that I've been watching. I keep falling asleep. I'm in the middle of it. But. That is a documentary, I would say. So
I'll watch the documentary TikTok version because my attention span's only 60 seconds.
It's on its way because did you watch that Netflix documentary about that they shot with all down? It's like the security camera footage, text messages and social. So it's like all found footage. So a TikTok doc is next. It is.
The murderer next door or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's like no interviews in it. It was wild.
No.
And that was depressing. Yeah. It was very depressing.
Not going to see it.
Oh, no, don't.
I won't.
I don't think you would bounce it. I don't think. You'll hate it.
If there's a kid involved, I cannot see it.
You can't.
There's kids. Nope.
No. I regret even mentioning it, but stylistically,
it's the amount of attention I can handle from a TikTok video. Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, Lauren, you have a podcast called We Stand. Tell us about your podcast.
So We Stand Together, which Katie's been on talking about her love of Jennifer Love Hewitt.
We featured it, you guys. You might have remembered my love of learning about scams from Heartbreakers, the movie, via Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah. So each week, my co-host, who's also a Caitlin Bitsagai, and I have on a different guest each week. And each week we dive into some niche aspect of pop culture. We've recently recorded an episode with Matt Rogers where we're talking about Mariah Carey. Ugh. We've talked about Backdoor Pilots with Gina Bloom. We've talked about who's also on the More Banana Network.
What's a backdoor pilot?
When a TV show is getting ready to launch like a spinoff, and instead of like the network giving them like money outright to do a pilot, they'll do like a special episode that sort of like introduces the new pilot to test out the idea. And
I get that. That's tough.
Interesting.
Yeah, I talked about the backdoor pilot that I thought was amazing and I can't believe didn't get greenlit from the Gossip Girl world. They did a backdoor pilot that was in the 80s and it was such a good little backdoor pilot and it didn't go anywhere and it was such a bummer.
Damn it. Damn that backdoor.
I know. It's a backdoor that I think they should have left wide open and walked
through. You gotta appreciate the backdoor.
They didn't. You gotta show the backdoor some respect.
See the backdoor.
How are the comments now? Should we want to give people an update about the anals?
No. Everyone's into anal. I had no idea. My pregnancy Facebook group that I'm on, not mine, somebody was like, if we have anal sex, will that induce labor? And it was a whole conversation. But you were talking about backdoor, and I was like, anal sex, you know.
It all checks just out.
It goes hand in hand.
Anyway.
It goes hand in hand. Oh, I was just going to say, Sue, I know that you've been watching The Vow, and I know that you're so into the whole NXIVM thing. How are you feeling about their announcement about season 2?
I can't believe there's a season 2.
That's
crazy. Oh, my God.
You know, it's a bunch of women came forward. You know, it had to be they got like 15 women coming out being like, look
15
at me.
More?
I feel like I people have been branded and they want to talk about it.
I think what it is that they're actually going to cover the court proceedings in the next season. Because like they've actually been going to court and things like that. So I think that might be more of the spin.
No shade, but I have devoured everything about this NXIVM stuff so much that I'm like low-key sick of Sarah Edmondson. Like, I don't need to see her anymore. She's like the face of NXIVM. I don't know.
No, you don't need to see any more of that stuff. It gets, after a while, it's just too upsetting, too dark.
Will I watch the new one coming up on Showtime? Yes, I will.
She will.
Yeah. I'm going to watch everything about it. I've been following the story for so long, and I feel like I know all of the players now. I feel like I've been hearing about NXIVM for like forever because I've always, multi-level marketing schemes have always intrigued me. Cults
have
always
intrigued me. Welcome to the pod, honey. That's us.
And that's why I'm so excited to be here. So it's like NXIVM just ticked off every one of my boxes. And they also like watching The Vow, I understood how they were able to exist for as long as they were and grow as big as they were, because I was like, oh my God, listening to this language is sort of like being in a college acting class.
Yes.
Like
100%.
The cult of personality at like a theater training school or even at like UCB. I was like, oh my God, I get.
Theater schools are full blown cults, and there's a lot of things that make you uncomfortable and upset, and everyone's like, just use it, put it into the work.
Yeah.
You're uncomfortable 100%. Because you've never been challenged in this way. It's so effing manipulative.
And you're supposed to worship the teacher all the time.
And if you don't, something's wrong with you.
Yeah. I can't with all that.
So we have to bring you back when season 2 The Vow comes out and you guys can talk all about it.
Of course. Of course.
Anytime, Sue. Anytime.
Of course. You're always welcome. What scam are we talking about today?
I don't even know.
So Katie and I have been texting because I was like, we were talking about what scam we could talk about. And I was like, so many of my favorite scams have been covered on the show already. And then she was like, well, I always hope that people will talk about like old timey scams.
If I'm looking to guess, I'm begging for an old timey scam.
Hey. So I worked backwards, right? Like, and I was thinking about how much fun I had talking about Heartbreakers with Katie, because that was like a good old fashioned sort of like romance scam, romance
manipulations,
manipulation. And I love and at the same time hate how easy scam artists have it in the world when they play on people's feelings. Mm-hmm. And like, I get simultaneously so intrigued and so upset with like lonely heart scams. And I have devoured every season of Catfish. Like, these
of
are
course.
Like, these are things that I just can't give up. And so I was trying to find some information on like, how did these scams start? Like, who are some of the originators? And I learned a lot this week doing
amazing
research for the pod. The first person that I learned about, and I texted Katie about her, was this woman named Susanna Mildred Hill, who was an American confidence trickster, mm-hmm. whose game was to like write letters and create pen pals with men during the 1940s, pretending to be like a 20-something-year-old beautiful woman. But she was actually like a 60-year-old woman who just like was like writing all these letters. And she is like credited in a lot of like essays and articles and different things as being sort of like the original lonely heart scammer.
Good for her.
Okay. Good for her.
But then it's so weird because she's like, I see all these like mentions of her, but I couldn't really find a lot of information
about
her.
I was looking too.
What's her name?
Her name is Susanna Mildred. Susanna Mildred Hill. But so I was like, I kind of felt like I hit a roadblock. So I was like, okay, I don't know how much we can talk about Susanna Mildred Hill, but then I hit the jackpot. So
tell me,
I have my new hero, and I am so excited because I want to play this woman in the biopic. Have either of you ever heard of Big Bertha Hayman?
No.
No. Okay. I don't know Big Bertha.
Getting to my computer right now looking up for Big Bertha Hayman.
I am so excited. So there's this amazing article that I found that was published by the San Francisco Examiner back in January of 2017. And they did this like whole article about this incredible woman named Big Bertha, who was just like supposed to be a very, very traditionally unattractive woman, yes. Right? Like she's...
I just sent a picture. She has one eye is bugging out of her head. She's looks like she's just been pulled through a bush backwards, as my grandma would say.
Yes, she is.
She looks unfortunate. Yeah.
Yes. So she was not the most attractive woman, but she is supposedly this like incredibly charismatic, charming woman that could just get people eating out of the palm of her hand.
Good for her.
And such a huge good for her. Like she got the nickname apparently like the confidence queen because she was able to run like so many scans. Right. And my favorite one though is in like 1888, she went to this the Beth Israel congregation, which I believe is in Northern California. I think that was why the San Francisco Examiner was like looking at her story. Like I think it happened in the San Francisco area supposedly, but she went to this rabbi and I love this story so much. And she claimed that she had inherited all like a sum of money that I think was close to like $6 million in today's world. Right. She was alleging that she had won like $6 million in an inheritance from her husband who had been a Christian. But here's what was so iconic. She went to this rabbi and said, but for my next marriage, I really want to marry a good Jewish man. And so she offered $1,000 to basically matchmake her with like good Jewish stock. And
oh, I see where this is going.
Wow.
And then she basically was like sort of like dangling this idea of like being the temple's, you know, the patron of the temple. And so she got quickly sort of brought into this community and was so charming and charismatic that she was winning people over left and right. And then she suddenly had like multiple men vying for her hand and she ended up getting jewelry that she either got as gifts from her suitors or on credit. And she got all of this stuff. And she was also working with this man that they said was her stepson. Now, I'm curious if this was really her stepson or her partner.
No, some
or,
ragtag
like, who this
kid.
Guy was. Yeah. Sure. But there was like some dude with her. And they ran one particular scam on a guy whose last name was like Groon or something. And she was so smart. She basically said, look, I like you. You like me. I want to pick you. But my stepson has a real problem with you. And so to try to win over the stepson, he gave the stepson like $500 to like woo the stepson. And so she's playing everything, right? Meanwhile, this is back in like 1888. So it takes a lot longer for people to like check on your shit. So like she had written this check for $1,000 to the temple or whatever. And then by the time they realized it had bounced, she had already left town.
Of course, she got
She had pawned all of the jewelry that she'd be given and like moved on to the next town. And this is one of my favorite parts of this whole story is that when this man realized that she had left town, realized that her check had bounced, he went to the police. And after he described her, one of the police officers there pulled out this book that was called Professional Criminals of America by Thomas F. Burns.
Whoa.
And pointed to photograph number 122 and said, is this the woman? And it was.
No way.
She had already.
Whoa.
Because she had already been pulling. Like, this was not her first crime. She had been pulling them everywhere.
She wasn't asking for a nice Jewish boy. She was asking for a rich Jewish boy.
By that.
Rich. Wait. Wait. Do we know what happened to her first husband?
No. Well, and based on what I saw, like, I'm so obsessed because I'm like, I don't know what's real and what's just the stories that she told people, right? Like, I don't know.
Yeah. She might have killed
him. She could have killed him. I don't know if there ever was a first husband or if she just pretended like there was a first husband. But here is where she gets even more iconic. Like, you think you've heard the best part and you haven't. Like, this.
Okay. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Long story short, she like had, she got caught, but ended up, her stepson, Willie, ended up going to jail and she didn't at first, but eventually she did get incarcerated. But once she did get incarcerated, she worked it out so that the jail was letting her like out on day passes and she was like going to the theater and going to the park and getting all this stuff.
She
and
was, it was just she like was getting Epstein. Free room and board, just like Epstein.
And one of my absolute favorite things was that apparently there was at some point she got hooked up with this guy named Ned Foster, who saw a possibility in her having like a theatrical career. So he like bailed her out of jail and booked her into this place called Woodward's Garden. And allegedly, according to this article I read, 18,000 people came to see her and hear her tell her poem, The Confidence Queen.
Wow. And, can you imagine? That's like the Hollywood era being plucked out of a million. Like, I'm going to make you a star.
My whole life, that's all I've wanted is someone to say, I'm going to make you all I've wanted. And that's amazing.
This according, again, according to the San Francisco Examiner, this is an excerpt from the poem she performed. And it says, so when vain, grasping men paint for glittering gold and find their bonanza in me, is it wicked to show up how badly they're sold and the rogues that men can sometimes be? So, like, basically she was like, why am I wrong that men suck?
I'm going to throw it back in your face, buddy.
Big Bertha.
This is no Marilyn. No, this
she is described Bertha. As a stout, gross-looking woman.
Oh, God.
And she, apparently she has four so moles much. On her cheek. Oh, God. Please don't ever describe me as that, guys.
I love she her. She apparently, like, she was selling stuff up. And then allegedly at some point, they did a production of Romeo and Juliet.
Okay.
With her playing and apparently it did well, but they like, I don't know. I'm just like really, 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 really.
The theater took a turn. I'm obsessed. Was she successful in the theater world?
It seems like she had like, I don't, it's hard to tell, like based on the limited, like.
Right. It's from the 1800s.
Most everything I could find from her all comes back to this one article. But this one article seems like she made money at it. Like people were interested. Part of the article is that it talks about how she had fake bottoms in her suitcases and that held $10,000 worth of Canadian bonds and thousands of jewelries in them. Like,
yes.
She just had like, whoa. Constantly had all this
stuff. That's how you keep it on you. You never have to put it in a bank because you are the bank.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Do you like science fiction? I'm Carrie Bechet, and if you loved movies like Arrival or Interstellar, then you're going to want to check out my podcast, Hypothetical. On Hypothetical, we tell speculative sci-fi stories interwoven with real science. New episodes every Tuesday, available wherever you get podcasts.
Let me just throw out a hypothetical that I think maybe I see how these are connected, because Bertha, like, actors are scammers.
We lie, you know, as a living.
Yeah.
We try to convince people of things that are not true. And she was a con woman.
And charismatic.
And so she was a great actor. Yeah. And it makes sense.
Well, and I think, too, like, I love, there's like this alleged quote from her that basically says, like, what got her off about pulling off the confidences, it wasn't about like wanting stuff. It was about when she met a man who thought he couldn't be taken
for a ride. For her.
She got off on like taking him for a ride. Like, it was about that power.
Yeah.
Not about the stuff.
Oh, it's the power. Yes. I'm like completely
obsessed with that. And I just love a woman that's like, oh, y'all want to like look down on me and y'all want to talk shit
and
on
give
me
no
and y'all
rights
say I'm
in the 1800s.
Ugly and give me no rights. I'm going to be the one laughing all the way to the bank. And she did.
Wow.
And she's.
You know what? Bertha's like a modern day Paris Hilton.
Oh my God. Honestly. I thought about Paris Hilton so much when I was reading through this.
Yes. Because it's like people underestimate her. People think she's dumb, but she's the smartest person. Mm-hmm. And she makes so much fucking money. So yeah, I like
we
that.
We like Bertha.
I am obsessed with the fact that she, like, there seems to be some doubt too about whether or not Bertha kept everything for herself, or if she did possibly give it away to the less fortunate, because she claimed that she was Robin Hooding, but apparently there's a paper trail that proves that she didn't give any of it away.
But it looks real cute, so she said she
I'm
was.
Like, oh my God, she was the original influencer. Like, she was all about, right? Like, she, like, understood that, like, perception is king, and, yes, like, it was, like, putting on a show, and she was, like, saying what she needed to say, but, like, back then, you know, it was hard to have those receipts in the 1800s.
Oh my gosh. I'm so impressed my gosh. With her. Yeah, let's get on it.
Why is there no biopic? Where?
I want to play her so
You're too pretty,
so
Lauren.
Bad.
You're too pretty.
That's the nicest thing I've ever heard. I will wear prosthetics, okay, but I want to play
Slap
her.
On some fake moles and you're, you know, a weird nose and you'll be fine.
You got to get the moles.
I will do it in a heartbeat.
Currently, you're too pretty.
That is the kindest thing anyone has ever said to me. Thank you so much. Awesome. But I was reading about her and I was just like, I want to play Bertha.
Yes. Let's write it up.
I'm hoping that people listening to this are, you know, network executives.
Yeah.
And they're we'll looking to
pluck
do...
you out of jail and make you famous.
Guys, we just want to be plucked out of wherever and just given a career of our dreams.
But also, like, Confidence Queen is the perfect title for a movie, for a series.
You're 100% right.
Yes.
And truth be told, I truly went down such a rabbit hole. If I did have a child, they would be starving and crying somewhere, because I lost so many hours of my life reading about women con artists this week. And I honestly, Confidence Queen could be an amazing anthology series where every season focuses on a different confidence
queen.
Yes,
we appreciate it.
Because there's so many.
Do you have another
there's
one you can
so
think
many
of?
Badasses.
That you're like dying to talk about.
So there is this amazing article that Mental Floss published last year that has like the top 10 female confidence artists.
Oh, I think I saw that.
And every single one of them is fascinating.
Okay.
There's like a Swedish woman
who
named
we got?
Helga de la Breche, who sounds so amazing.
So cute.
She basically was a Swedish orphan that got away with just lying through her teeth, because in the mid-century, blood tests, you know,
were
not really a thing. Not a thing. So she just like made up a story about being related to royalty, but like she came up with the whole story about like divorced royalty or something like that. And that's how like they've been lost.
Scandal with royalty, and they claim that they're like the abandoned love child or something. That's how Sophia, Swedish Sophia, too. Wait, is this Swedish Sophia?
Oh yeah, this is Princess Sophia.
Yes,
Albertine.
We love her.
Yeah,
we know her. We love her. Sophia.
We know her.
She's a gem.
Yeah.
She's so great.
So she's number one on this list.
She's number one in my heart.
Wow. Yeah, she's amazing. There's so much royalty. This list of 10 has a lot of people doing crazy things with the royalty.
Because everything was so hush-hush and everything was so like prideful that it was so easy to lie about it.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that I think was so fascinating about a lot of these women is that particularly in like the 17th and 18th centuries, these women were able to get away with it because men were so afraid of admitting that they had been conned by these women.
Yes.
And that's still a thing today. Mm-hmm. But it was really hard. There was like this woman named Mary Carleton, that also known as the Princess Von Walway.
Who was another
woman pulling an orphan princess.
Perfect.
You know, scam back in the day. But it said that like finally enough spurned lovers came forward to catch her. And this was crazy. She actually got hung at age 30 because men actually, I think like it was sort of their, they bound together and like enough people heard whisperings and came together and got her.
Wow, you never hear that.
Not to blame the victim, but she must not have been a good scammer.
Or she was incredible and really just like ran these guys through, in a sense.
The research that I was able to find about her, it alleges that with as many people as came forward that were able, like they were clearly enough step forward that they were able to like sentence her, but they think there's so many more that didn't come
forward.
Where
was this happening?
She was like,
what was she a queen
super
of?
Super prolific. She, I believe she left England for the Netherlands, but then I am not sure where she was. I think she was committing these crimes in the Netherlands, but pretended she was from Cologne. Okay.
Wow.
Lauren.
This is so
amazing.
Cool, Lauren.
Amazing.
This is actually my favorite thing. We never get to talk about these old-timey scams. I'm so excited.
So when you said that she got all this money, but we don't know if she actually gave anything away from it. So last week, Molly McAleer at Mother May I Sleep With Murder podcast sent us this scam that was in progress happening on TikTok.
Yeah.
Which was like very similar. It was so I watched the documentary on TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. You got to watch that TikTok doc.
Yes, I went through, and this woman was claiming that she was helping children get out of ICE detention centers and needed money through her Cash App and her Venmo. And her followers were like kids, right? And she ended up getting 40 grand from them. And then she deleted all of her social media accounts and just disappeared.
It's so cruel. It is so cruel that there are people out there. Like, everybody just wants to be loved and feel safe. Like, right? Like, that's all any human being wants.
Totally.
And it's so crazy to me how many people are out there. Like, I don't know. I think part of the reason I delight in some of these stories about these women from, like, the 17th and 18th century is because it's, like, what a dark fucking time to be a woman and how powerless. And, like, most of those stories are, like, she's like saying fuck you to all these like wealthy men like that.
Also, I hope she's boning all these guys. Like, I hope she's like, because with these suitors, they all think they're gonna marry her. So I hope she's having like a beautiful love
if she wants.
That's any. I hope it's her choice and she gets to like have these gorgeous love affairs and get necklaces and get taken places and then leave. I love that for her.
That's empowering to me. I get so mad with some of these scams that are being run on social media these days, particularly when like, I won't go into full detail because this story belongs belongs to another comedian. It's her story to tell, but I was a part of cracking the code. But I had a friend who I have been friends with since we were in college, and she was just getting out of like an epic 10-year relationship and was trying to date for the first time. And we went out for drinks, her and a couple of my friends. And she was telling us the story about this guy that she had met and how she was like, oh, it was kind of nice to be deep on her toes back in the water, but like it's weird to be dating after 10 years and weird to be dating when there's internet. Like that wasn't around when she's, you know, when we were in college, blah, blah, blah. And she's telling all these stories and I'm hearing like red flag after red flag. Like, I told you all at the beginning of this episode, like I'm a huge Catfish fan. I've learned a lot,
know your text.
You know, over the years. I get it. And so she's telling me all these stories and I was like, there's something very wrong with this story. And I was shocked. She was like, well, I've met him and stuff. I know he looks like how he looks. And I was like, okay, but like, let's pretend I'm Neve and let's go on a deep dive and do all the things. So as we're sitting at this bar and she's telling us these stories, like all of his social media is gone. Right. We go to look for him. Everything's gone. You can't find a trace of him anywhere. She's like, oh, my God, this is so weird. And I was like, what do you have? Like, what do you have? And she looked at her phone and she had like screen grabs because she had like screen grabbed some photos of him to like send a friend to be like, this is the guy I'm going on a date with. And I was like, text me everything you have.
Good for you.
So I have her send me everything that she has. And I text message a friend of mine. And then I reach out to a friend of mine who was a reporter at the time. And I said, hey, I know reporters have access to different search engines. Can I send you text messages and like photos and stuff? And can you help me dig up some stuff? And she goes, yes, text me what you have. I'll run it through whatever fancy search engine she has. And then over the course of the next like hour, we're getting more details from my friend, and my friend who's a reporter is like texting questions, and she goes, I need you to ask your friend about tattoos. Ask her if he has tattoos and describe them to me. And I go, hey, did you by any chance like see if he has tattoos? And she was like, yeah. And she described them, and my friend sends me a text and she goes, ask your friend if these look like the tattoos that she saw.
Gosh.
And so I said, hey, are these the tattoos that you saw? And she goes, yeah. And she goes, my reporter friend goes, tell your friend to take a breath. I found some stuff. Warn her. It's like not great. And so I was like, okay. And she sent me then, my reporter friend sent me this guy's real name, his real everything, and his arrest record. Because he was a scammer and he had been pulling scams on he was a romance scam artist.
Oh,
so he would get into these relationships with women and he had been under arrest, I think, in the state of Florida. And I think he had been arrested out in Long Island and he was running like credit card scams. Mm-hmm. So he would get close to people, get their information and then like open these accounts and charge all these and then like break up with them, leave them. And they'd be in like hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. And I have never felt more angry at the world, but also more like I should quit everything I'm doing and start a lady detective agency.
You should, Lauren.
I did feel very powerful. Mm-hmm.
You can call it Bertha's. Mm-hmm. You can call it Confidence
That's
Queen
amazing.
Catchers.
Bertha. Oh, my gosh. Wait.
It was
this
in New
was
York.
In New York? She was... Oh my God. And how did she meet him?
I think it was on an app. I think it was like Tinder. It was one of those apps.
How did she respond after? How did your friend respond?
She was shook. And she was really shook because it was like, it was one of those things where there were so many red flags, but I think she was so overwhelmed with the prospect of like this like decade long relationship ending and like she was so in grief mode.
Love is so intense too. It's so special and far.
It was just so fascinating to be like, oh my God, this is like what he does. Like he found like the perfect target. Like she's not asking the right questions because she hasn't thought about asking these questions in so long.
Yeah.
And it was really crazy because in retrospect, and like we will never know, but like there were things that he said to her and shared with her on their date that made her feel so comfortable and so like seen and heard that I think he must have done like a deep dive on her and like because like he made up things that it like he had to have been like doing his research.
Oh yeah.
But Like a dirty John. But it's crazy town. And it's one of those things where, like, we were talking about it. She was like, I'm not rich, though. Like, why? Like, he was like, she was like, I make no sense. I was like, even if he wasn't trying to get your money, I think, like, once a con man, always a con man. Like, he's just like, it doesn't always have to be money that they're after.
Yeah. This might be the one that he actually likes, but he can't really get it together.
Lauren, you might have saved her life.
Now, is she, did she like check her social? Like, you can do something on your credit checks so you can protect yourself after.
Yeah. So she did all that. And my friend who's a reporter gave great advice and was like, you should call. She got it. There's like a process you can go through to like basically say like, hey, I have all my cards. I don't think any of my information has been compromised, but I've like had a suspicious interaction. So she put like a watch on her like credit or whatever. And I think she did end up filing a report with the I think she, here's the crazy part. I feel so bad telling her story, but she had met him at like a hotel bar restaurant. Mm-hmm. And she was pretty sure after finding all this out that like he was, had run a scam and like not actually paid for everything. So she called the hotel back and said the date and everything and said, hey, if any charges from this particular night didn't go through, this is the guy's real name.
And good for her. She did that. So,
yeah, she was like, I have no idea. She was like, I just found out I went on a date with someone who's not who he said he was. This is who he really is. This is the name he was using that night. If y'all want to go back and look, check your books.
Good.
Yes.
That's get how you
it.
Do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
Is anything about this guy, like, has he come up against any other apps on her? Like, has he changed his name? As like, anything else in her life?
You know, no. Like, by the time I had sort of sat down and been like, we got to do a deep dive. This guy is
you're such a good friend,
right.
Lauren.
Thank you so much. This is where all of my reality TV consumption and true crime consumption
comes in. It's got to go somewhere.
By the point that like she was telling me the story, she had already like stopped talking to him. Like she had already been sort of like deciding, oh, he's not for me because.
Yes.
A, I don't really want to date. Also like, meh. She was feeling weird vibes, but not for like.
She just wasn't into him, for the creepy scam reasons. Yeah.
She just wasn't ready. She wasn't ready to give up on the relationship that she had just ended, truthfully.
Good. Right.
That was really where her head was at. So she had stopped. She hadn't been talking to him for like quite a while by the time all that happened.
But this is a hallmark of a scam. If they delete their social media, then they're a scammer.
Go ahead. No, well, because that's what I said. My head wasn't going to scam. My head was, he's married.
Oh.
Like, that's what I thought was happening. I was like, oh, he has a wife. He has a family. He was just trying to get laid. That was where my brain immediately went.
So much more normal and pleasant compared to like running con artist who's been doing this for years.
And it's crazy. And that's one of the things that I think is so fascinating about all these stories too is that like these people never learn a lesson.
Mm-mm.
They like once you're in that life, you're just like,
well, I don't think they've learned any other lessons either. Like, it's not that they can like go back and work on. I think they feel this sense of desperation. They're really good at conning and that's what they do best, and they don't know how to be a bartender or plumber or
it's a vibe though. Like, so with this TikTok scammer, I watched her videos. And you could tell the documentary. I watched her documentary and you could tell that something was off about her because she was being like so kind of like demanding about people. She was being like, you guys, you're deserting the kids. You have to donate to this Venmo, this GoFundMe or whatever. So it's like, I feel like there are things you can pick up on when these people, if you have prolonged interactions with them. Should have to, but yeah.
And for that part with the kids, I mean, the fundamental problem behind all of that is that there are children in custody. There are children in cages. I mean, that is a horrible thing that's a part of our reality.
Yeah. But if someone's raising money for a cause like that, they're not pressuring you. They're not shaming you into donating for it.
No, I know. I just can't believe, like, it's like, that's all insane, but she's not even making up that story. That horrible story is actually happening right now in our government. And so I'm just...
And how gross, like, that's like people who, like, pretend to be sick and raise money. Like,
we can't handle those.
I can't. No, it's like so cruel. Like,
but romance and guys in the 1800s, it's funny. That stuff's sexy.
Well, it's like, you know, we know this from like writing comedy. Like, there's a difference between punching up and punching down.
Oh,
right?
Of course.
Like, when the super affluent guy, you know, is willing to open and dump out his wallet just because you're stroking his ego the right way. Like, yes.
Yes.
Queen. Like, take him.
Continue to stroke and cash that check.
Yes.
Stroke and cash.
I will say this. TikTok scammer's name is Madam Future President. So she had everybody convinced that she was running for president in 2024 as well. So,
oh yeah. My God.
There she goes. She's got to have a lot of platforms. There's
a lot of platforms.
So with this, I have some stats from highspeedinternet.com, which I think is reputable. Now that I'm saying it, I don't know. It's saying these are, according to a poll, what states are the most and least likely to get catfished.
Ooh.
The states where you're most likely to get catfished, number one is Nevada. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
that tracks.
It's there's Las Vegas, everything. Number two is Wyoming.
Okay. What are we
doing?
Yeah.
Washington. Yeah. Four, Utah with the Mormons. Five, Alaska. You're just happy to see someone,
yes,
I guess.
You're bored. Like,
I'll take
bored.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah. New Hampshire, six. I don't know about New Hampshire. Seven's Minnesota. Eight is Florida, who I thought would be higher.
Me too, actually.
Oregon is 9, and 10th is Maryland.
Whoa.
Okay.
All right, now.
I will say, people from Minnesota are very nice and very trusting.
They're so nice. Mm-hmm. Utah is beautiful, and they're really nice to children. You could totally run a scam on them. And Florida, I feel like they have their own issues, so maybe people are
slightly
distracted.
There's always
like,
a scam in Florida.
There's always some man doing something scary in Florida. Okay, states where you're least likely to be catfished. Number one, South Dakota.
Wow.
Hey, way to go, South Dakota.
Wow. Interesting. Not what I expected.
Not doing great with their masks right now, but they're doing great with their catfish.
We don't want to talk about Sturgis, but.
No, we're having a tough time. Mississippi's number two.
What?
Least likely to be catfished. Yes. Number three is Iowa. Four, Louisiana. New Orleans, I'd feel like anybody could just like take a drink and get completely catfished. But no, Louisiana's number four. Maine, that checks out. Kansas, Vermont is number seven. Now, New Hampshire was number six of most likely, and Vermont is number seven of least likely. Mm. They're right next to each other.
Mm.
And isn't weed legal there? I don't find a connection.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm starting to not trust this list, though, because
you don't have to.
I went to grad school in Iowa. I lived there for 3 years, and in my 3 years, I was catfished once.
Okay.
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 There you go.
There you go.
It was a pretty harmless catfish as far as catfishes go. But
Lauren.
Going straight from undergrad to grad school is so weird because I was like the same age. I was closer in age to the undergrads than most of the grad students because I was like younger. And then I was also in theater, which is like a weird thing. I don't know. Like my program is weird. There was like really, I loved it. I loved my program. It was so great. But there was nobody to kiss in my class. There was no one I wanted to kiss in my department. So I tried, me and one of my classmates, we set up OkCupid profiles and like really tried to date. But it was like it was such a weird time in my life and such a weird place to date. But I went on a couple of dates with this guy who I had matched with him on OkCupid like right before Christmas. But then I was flying back to New York for Christmas break. So we spent all of Christmas vacation like texting. And when I flew back to Iowa for the beginning of the spring semester, he planned what was to this day one of the best first dates I've ever been on. There was this like hookah bar in Iowa City that was BYOB, and he like stocked it with the wine that I had told him I liked at the time.
Oh,
and like
very
made
attentive.
It look really, it was like a very good first date.
Depending how you look at it.
But then the subsequent dates got like less and less thoughtful, and he started getting weirder and weirder. And I was like, so it didn't last very long. I probably went out with this guy over the course of a month, a handful of times.
Okay.
Like a year later, I was talking to one of the costume designers who we're very similar types. Like if she were an actor, we would be up for the same roles. Like we look very similar. And she's telling me a story about this guy who she'd gone out with. And I was like, he reminds me of a guy that I went out with last year. And I said, is his name, I said the name of the guy, it was like Jacques or whatever. And she goes, oh no, his name is such and such. I'm like, oh, show me a picture. And she showed me a picture and it was the same guy, but he was using a totally different name, claiming to have a totally different job. Like nothing he told her was the same as what he told me. And then we found out a third girl who was a lighting designer who was also dark hair, fair skin, bigger build, like we could have been sisters. She also matched with him.
Oh my God.
And he told her completely different things. So it was so weird. And I have no idea to this day. Like none of us could figure out like why it was.
You
like,
gotta get your reporter friend on that.
Yes.
Every time he would give you a totally different name, a totally different job. Like with me, he was in law school. He was studying to be a lawyer, but he was a paralegal by day. He told my other friend he was a bus driver, and then I forget what he told our other friend. Like,
well, you're so very highbrow, Lauren. Weird. You would need a paralegal. You're fancy, and you need a man who makes a lot of money. So he was correct in that way. Did he get your other friends' drink orders correct?
He did. That was like his move. Yeah. That was like his one thing was like ever on the first date. He like that was his he move. Was, I know what you're drinking.
Wow. How did you know he was a scammer?
I don't know that he's a scammer per se.
Or a catfish.
But there was something going on. It was a catfish. The only reason we know it was a catfish is because he was using different names and different details.
And lying about his job. Yeah.
And like, which is, but it also like in a town like that, it's like there's got to be a purpose. Mm-hmm. There's got to be more to it than just. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
It was weird. Wow. It was weird.
So
it
was weird. Iowa.
Wow. Thank you for telling us that. Okay. So this list is trash. But what I did like from this random website is that the states with the most dollars lost per victim, number one was Oklahoma with $70,288 per victim. Oh! And states with the least dollars per victim, it was Maine with $3,820 and DC is only 5,531.
Wait.
But I thought that was amazing.
My home state is such a hot mess. Oklahoma.
Yeah. Montana's 68,102 per victim. And Massachusetts, brainy old Massachusetts, 62,018 per victim. And Sue in California, 48,891 per victim.
I can't believe California and New York are not on this list, though.
I know on that. That's so interesting. So like the money, you know, California is where all the banks are, but New York's not on any of this. New Yorkers don't trust anyone. And they don't want to be your friend. They have enough friends and they're late already. They're moving. There's no time for you. Ugh. So refreshing. I miss New York, guys. A week in Maryland, I'm like, I want to be with those cranky ass New Yorkers.
Oh, right let now. Me tell you, when I go to Starbucks, I miss New York real bad because the Starbucks here is slow.
It's chatty. They're so chatty. I don't want to know about your new diet.
Just give me my food.
Or what cabinets you bought. God. Give me my food and I don't want to look you in the eye. I'm an asshole.
That's what I like. Lauren.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's no such thing as running in and out of a store.
No.
In any other
part
of the country.
No. Nothing says urgent as just like tipping a waiter in New York. It's like, I've got to go. I want to give you this really nice gesture, but I've got to go.
It was so funny. Even though she's Caitlin Betts, a guy, she's from Indiana, but when she came with me to Oklahoma last year because we took We Stand and did a live show at a theater festival back home in Oklahoma, and I was like, I just need to run in real quick to CVS. I'll be right back. I have to grab something. And I was in there, and she was like, "Is everything okay? You were in there for a long time." I was like, "Oh yeah, no, they just talk." Like the lady who I've never met before just wanted to talk for like an hour.
One last thing I want to say, guys, if you think you're being catfished, one of the things you have to look out for is if, number one, if they ask you for money and if they claim that they'll pay you back later. That's a huge thing. And that's what friends do. But
I've never had a friend ask me for money.
And
I don't think.
I had one friend, but he was pretty like he was kind of, I think, conning me a little bit. Like he was using me as a friend.
Yeah. I will also say this. I don't know if y'all I haven't heard you guys bring this up on the show before. Maybe you haven't. I missed it. But I just want big PSA. Everyone, check on your grandma. Check on your grandpa. Because
check them.
Every article that I was reading about lonely heart scams, like, circled back to the elderly and how.
Yes, grandparent scams. Yeah, they're the next one.
That, like, the number one victims in romance scams these days are the elderly. And, you know. Check on.
And guys, that could be you one day. We're all going to be old. We're all going to be old. Don't forget it. You're not immune to this. check on them.
Especially like, because, and it makes so much sense too, because like with the Lonely Heart scams, you know, they're the quote from this, there's this like Market Watch article that's like, they're hacking your heart, not your account. And it's like they look for people that are lonely, and the elderly, you know, certainly.
And 2020 is a lonely ass year.
I know.
It's a terrible year.
I was thinking about that too when I was reading on these articles. I was like, I wonder like how, because a lot of these statistics are from like 2019. I'm like, I wonder,
yes,
like next year when they've got all the data, how bad these Lonely Heart scams are going to be.
Aww, that's so sad.
It's tough. But guys, hang in there. And if you've ever heard of these catfish, if you're obsessed with catfish, we are, let us know.
If you've been catfish.
We want to hear from you. This is an honest, loving place, and you can tell your story to
also,
us.
Also, if you've ever been a catfish.
If you've been a catfish, what is your logic?
So
are you a sociopath or a fish?
Well, cause,
or are you a fish who swims upstream?
So Angel Yao came on the We Stand podcast, and we were talking about boy bands, and she talked about how she kind of ended up catfishing a fellow fan that she met, but it was because she was worried about the girl, because she thought that the girl was so obsessed with, I want to say it was Nick Carter, that she sort of was like, I sort of pretended to be Nick Carter because I thought it would be safer for her to talk to me than someone else.
Angel, that's so is nice. So sensitive. She would just put herself in the worst position possible. Guys, Angel Yell's one of the funniest.
She's so funny,
I've
ever met. Amazing. She's but
so loving and sensitive. She accidentally catfished herself.
She made me think about catfishing. I wonder how many like empathetic catfishes there are in the world. Not everyone's trying to scam
that's
you.
That's funny.
Some of them might be trying.
Or if a catfish gets in too deep, the water's too deep, and they really want to help you out.
Catfish can't breathe.
Yeah,
you guys.
Catfish. Guys, call us. Please call us because you know on our hot tub hotline, because you know I love a phone call. That number is 347-509-9414.
Yeah, or you can email us at scamwildpodcast@gmail.com or go to our website, scamwildpodcast.com, for back episodes, Patreon, merch, all that kind of stuff. And be sure to listen to We Stand Together, also on More Banana.
Yes, it's so great. Right on More Banana. It's so easy to get to. And we'll put all those links in the bio.
Thanks, Yay! Lauren.
Thank you so much, Lauren.
Hey, thanks for letting me come on and pitch my movie dreams of playing Big Bertha.
Anytime.
We've got Anytime. To create this.
Guys, we will see you next week.
Bye. Bye.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did it turn to the planet?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.